Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We read the verses 14 to 29. Hear the word of God. And when he, that is Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So far the reading of the Word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, life is full of lessons. Some of these lessons are taught, for example, by our parents or our teachers at school. Others are learned, usually by experience. Most of these lessons are very valuable. They increase our knowledge. They help us to shape our character. They prevent us from doing bad and encourage us to do good. But some people never seem to learn. No matter how many times you teach them, they just don't seem to get it. The same was true for the disciples of our Lord. Jesus had taught the disciples many lessons about faith, but some of these lessons he had to teach again and again and again. Now we have a good example of that in the words of our text today, the healing of the deaf and mute man. And it's to this passage that we turn our attention with the Lord's help. My theme is a lesson about weak faith. And we'll consider, first of all, the impotence of weak faith, and secondly, the solution to weak faith. The events of our text took place in Galilee, sometime towards the end of our Lord's public ministry. It was early in the morning. During the night, Jesus had been transfigured on the top of the mountain. And now Jesus, Peter, James, and John were descending the mountain to the plain below. When they arrived there, they encountered a large crowd. In the middle of the crowd were the other nine disciples and a group of scribes disputing with them. As Jesus approached the crowd and as he observed the scribes disputing with the disciples, we read that all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. Why were they amazed? Well, some say they were amazed because they saw something of the residual glory that shone from Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Much like the people of Israel saw the glory of God reflected on Moses' face when he came down from Mount Sinai. But most likely they were amazed simply because they had not expected to see him. And they ran to him simply because they were eager to hear what he would say to the scribes. Well, as Jesus approached the crowd, he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Now, Jesus, of course, knew what they were discussing. As the Son of God, Jesus knows all things. He also knew what they were disputing about. He asked them simply because he wanted to signal to his disciples that he would take over from here. He would do what they were evidently unable to do. He would answer the scribes himself. But before anyone could answer, a man in the crowd spoke. Matthew says the man came and knelt down before him. And he said, "Teacher, I brought you my son." Luke adds that he was his only child, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Luke in his gospel adds that when the spirit seizes him, the boy cries out, and it convulses him, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. Now, for centuries, modern critics of the Bible have discounted the trustworthiness of Scripture on the grounds that it frequently appeals to the supernatural to explain things that can easily be explained by natural science. And they would cite this account as an example of that. The boy's father claimed that his son was possessed by a demon, whereas in actual fact, he was probably merely suffering from a severe case of epilepsy. Now, is this true? Does the Bible wrongly attribute certain things to the supernatural? Well, the answer to that question, of course, is no. The Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. And so, when the Bible attributes something to the supernatural, it's because the supernatural is involved. And this is a case in point. It's indeed possible that this boy was suffering from epilepsy. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, that's stated explicitly. However, his condition was exacerbated by a demon. And that explains why he was also mute, which is not normally associated with epilepsy. It also explains why Jesus addressed the demon directly in verse 25. He never would have done so had the boy not been possessed by an evil spirit. The point is, this boy suffered from both epilepsy and demon possession. And it was for that reason that the man brought him to Jesus. However, as the man went on to explain, when he came to the place where Jesus was supposed to be, he couldn't find him. And that's because, as we've seen, Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And so the man did the next best thing. He brought his son to his disciples. But much to his dismay, the disciples were not able to cast it out. At last, the reason why the scribes were disputing with the disciples becomes clear. This dispute was not about the disciples or some interpretation of the law. It was about Jesus. The scribes saw that the disciples were not able to cast out this demon, and they used that as an opportunity to discredit the Lord Jesus. They probably said something like this: "You say that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, if he is indeed the Son of God, why could you not cast out this demon? He's not the Son of God. He's just a fraud. He's just a phony. And you are fools to follow him and to believe on him." And you know, there are still people like that today. They're always looking for opportunities to discredit Jesus and to make Christianity and Christians look ridiculous. They can be found in our classrooms, in the public school, especially at secular colleges and universities. They can be found in the law courts of our land, in our halls of government, in the workplace, and even our neighbors. And that's the case here as well, isn't it? These scribes, the religious leaders of the Jews, were seeking to discredit Jesus in an attempt to dissuade others from following him. Well, when Jesus heard that his disciples could not cast out the demon, he was understandably upset. "Oh, faithless generation," he said, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear," or we could say, "put up with you?" Now, it's not clear to whom Jesus was speaking here. Some say he was speaking to everyone gathered at that scene. So he was addressing the disciples and the father of the boy, as well as the scribes and the multitude. Now, while that may be true, it seems most likely that he was speaking specifically to the disciples. Why is that? Well, because he rightly expected more of them. They had traveled with him for 3 years, and during that time he had taught them many things. And they had also witnessed many things. They had witnessed many miracles. If anyone should have had faith, it was the disciples. But they didn't. No matter how hard they tried, they could not cast the demon out. And the reason is because their faith, such as it was weak. Jesus says as much in verse 29. After restoring the demon-possessed boy, the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples, we are told, returned to the house where they were staying. And when they were inside the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" That was a very good question. After all, the disciples had cast out many demons before. Why not this one? Jesus' answer was brief but searching. He said, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." The point that Jesus was making was this: it's only when we are living in complete dependence on God and are expecting all things from him, which is manifested in a life of prayer and fasting, that it is only then that we are able to cast out demons or do anything else in his name. The reason why the disciples could not cast out this particular demon was not because the demon was too powerful for them, but because they were relying on themselves rather than on God. They believed, however unintentionally, that they could cast it out in their own power rather than by the power of God. Yes, they had faith, but it was weak. My friend, what about you today? How strong is your faith? Weak faith, to be sure, is better than no faith at all, but it's not enough. Weak faith is impotent. Weak faith cannot do what we need it to do. Oh, it may be strong enough to save, but it is not strong enough to cast down strongholds. It's not enough to withstand the attacks of the evil one. What we need is strong faith. So where do we go to get this strong faith? What's the solution here? That brings us to our second point. After groaning about the weakness of his disciples' faith, Jesus commanded them to bring him the boy. And they did. And then we read that when the demon saw him, that is Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Luke, in his account, says that, "And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him." The Greek verb here is in the imperfect, meaning it describes an ongoing action. The demon threw the boy to the ground, where he continued to roll around in the dirt, foaming at the mouth. Now, why did the demon do this? Well, because he realized that he was standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had just come from the Mount of Transfiguration, arrayed with divine power and glory, and it terrified him. You see, this demon knew what so many people today fail to understand, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not to be trifled with. He is the King of Kings, who has all power in heaven and on earth, also over demons. And one day he is coming to judge the living and the dead. And he also realized that his time was short. He knew that soon he would be cast out and cast into the abyss. And so in one final desperate act of rebellion, he threw the boy down and caused him to roll in the dirt and foam at the mouth. We see here how determined Satan is to retain control over us. His one aim is to drag as many people down to hell as he possibly can. And once he has us under his control, he will not give up without a fight. And that's why in some cases it can take years, and then only after much struggle before someone is truly converted to God. And we see the evidence of that here. This devil knew that soon he would have to leave this boy. And so he made every effort to cause him as much pain as possible. Well, undeterred by this, Jesus, like a sympathetic physician, proceeded to ask the boy's father how long his son was afflicted with this condition. And again, it's not that Jesus did not know the answer to that question. He knows all things. Nor did he need this information in order to bring about the boy's restoration. He asked this question so that the boy's father and those standing around might be all the more thankful and impressed by the miracle that he was about to perform. So in response to our Lord's question, the father informed him that he was like this from the time that he was a child, implying that the boy in this case was probably in his early teens or preteens. And then, as if to reinforce the severity of his son's condition, he added this. He said, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." And following this, at his wit's end, with his son rolling around on the ground, the man appealed to the Lord to help. "But if you can do anything," he said, "have compassion on us and help us." By using the plural pronoun, the man was including not only his son, but also his wife, if she was still alive, and possibly members of his extended family. The entire family was completely stressed out by this demon. And that's why they turned to the Lord for help. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Notice the question is not, "Are you willing to help us?" The man was convinced of that. The question was, "Are you able? If you can do anything." And then we have here another example of weak faith, don't we? This man had brought his son to Jesus to be healed. And in doing so, he declared his belief that Jesus could heal him. He had healed many others. Why not his son? But all of a sudden, he was not so sure anymore. Oh, he was sure that Jesus would try. He was sure that he was willing. But was he also able? Was Jesus able to cast out such a powerful demon? And in response to this question, Jesus said to the man, verse 23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Jesus here turns the tables on this man. He tells him, in effect, that it is not a matter of what he can do. Rather, it is a matter of whether the man believes. It's as though Jesus was saying, "I can cast out this demon. Of that there can be no doubt. But the real question is, can you believe? Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Well, it's obvious that the man got the message. For hearing this, he cried out, desperate, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." You see how honest this man was. On the one hand, he acknowledged that he did believe. On the other hand, he also acknowledged that mixed with this belief was still so much unbelief. And why is that? Because what this man was asking for was impossible, humanly speaking at least. He had done everything he could for his son. He probably brought him to the best doctors. He also brought him to the disciples. But it was all to no avail. No one was able to do anything for his son. And now Jesus was asking him to believe that he was able to restore him. And the man wanted to do that, but deep down inside he felt he could not do it. There were still so many obstacles. There were still so many unanswered questions. Oh yes, he believed. But there was still so much unbelief. Oh my friend, can you identify with this man? Some of us struggle with matters of faith. We have faith. We're looking to Christ as our only hope and refuge. But we lack assurance. We simply cannot bring ourselves to say that we are children of God and heirs to everlasting life. Well, what do we do about that problem? Well, what we should not do is nothing. We should not say, as some do, I don't believe completely, therefore I may as well not believe at all. I must wait until my faith is stronger, and so on. No, we must do as this man did. We must bring the weakness of our faith to the Lord and beseech Him to help us. We must pray as this man prayed, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. For only You can do that. I cannot make myself believe. I cannot banish my unbelief. I cannot give myself faith, for faith is a gift of God, and that's why I come to You, and I ask You to do this for me. Have you ever prayed such a prayer? If so, then the Lord will answer it. We know that because He answered this man's prayer as well. We read in verse 25 that when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now, Jesus, in the presence of many witnesses, commands this demon to come out of the boy and never to enter into him again. And the demon obeyed. He had no choice. And we read in verse 26, that the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. What a mighty miracle. Jesus managed to do what none of the disciples could do. Simply by speaking a word, He caused the demon to come out. And we're reminded here, aren't we, that the Lord rewards even the weakest faith. As we've seen, and He Himself admitted this, the boy's father had faith, but it was still so weak. And yet the Lord Jesus did for him as He asked of him. Oh, what a kind and compassionate Savior He is. We give Him so little, and He gives us so much. But wait, all was not well yet. For after the demon came out of the boy, we read, lay motionless on the ground. He was so still that the people thought he was dead. They even said as much. So did the devil get the last laugh? Did he gain the final victory? No. For no sooner did the people say that he was dead than we read that Jesus took the boy by the hand and lifted him up and restored him to his father, serving only to heighten the greatness of this miracle and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn here that nothing is impossible for the Lord. He can break the hardest heart. He can save the greatest sinner. He can deliver from the most powerful of demons. He can do anything. Oh, my friend, since that is so, should we not trust in Him? Should we not believe on Him? Why then do we so often doubt? Why then do we so often despair? Look to Jesus. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But we also learn here a very practical lesson. And the lesson is this, that no matter what the Lord has called you to do, but especially when it comes to the work of Christ's church and His kingdom, never, ever look to yourself. If you look to yourself, you will certainly fail. But if you look to Christ, manifest it in a life of prayer and dependence upon Him, you will certainly succeed. Isn't this where the disciples went wrong? As we saw earlier, they were trusting in themselves. And because of that, they were not able to cast out this demon. My friend, have you also learned this vital lesson? There is in each one of us a tendency always to rely on ourselves, isn't there? On our wisdom, our experience, our know-how, our ingenuity, our ability. But Jesus teaches us here that without Him we are nothing and we can do nothing. R.C. Sproul writes this, and I quote, "The strength of our faith can never be put on automatic pilot. When we face a formidable foe, it is not enough simply to depend on the reservoir of faith in our souls. We have to get on our knees. We have to plead with God. We have to make use of all the means of grace that He has given His people. for he strengthens his people through these means." End quote. This is the lesson that Jesus taught his disciples on this particular occasion. Faith is essential. Weak faith saves, but it is not enough. And how we should strive and plead for stronger faith, more assured faith, and Jesus promises that he will work that in our hearts. That's the lesson that he teaches us in this account of his word. Have you learned it? Will you also put it into practice? Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If you would like more information about our churches, including who we are, what we believe, and where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. That's www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit our webpage, and you can make a donation right from the webpage. Please remember that the Lord would have his people come together to worship him. For that reason, we urge you not to use this or any other radio program as a substitute for being an active, contributing member of a local faithful church. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.